You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back, folks. This is a time of year where you look back in 2025, you post your annual crime stats, and joining us now is Chief Ann Kirkpatrick, the superintendent of the NOPD. Chief, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Sheriff.
Chief, as we look back at 2025, your thoughts about the crime stats that y'all have posted?
Well, we're pleased that we were able to still show overall a very good trend down when you look at the three-year mark. But we're pleased, and obviously our tactics are working, our strategies are working.
Absolutely. I've never been one that says you judge the effectiveness of a law enforcement agency by the murder rate. I'd much rather focus on the solution rate. It seems to me that y'all have been able to really make significant improvements in solution rates across the board.
Well, that's a really good way of framing it, Sheriff. I appreciate that mindset that is about the absence of victims, the absence of harm. It's what we should be celebrating, because for every one of those numbers, it still represents someone has been harmed. And there's a person behind that number and a grieving family.
No doubt. There were issues, obviously, that revealed themselves over the year, more so from a global perspective in the budget of the city. Y'all have gone through the budget process for 2026. How confident are you that there's enough dollars for you to be able to continue to deliver this downward trend?
Well, I'm confident in that it's quite obvious that even the current administration, which is still Mayor Cantrell, and the upcoming administration, Mayor-elect Moreno, there's a commitment that has been shown, that is a positive commitment by the council, that they are going to support this police department. Even when other departments in the city have had to experience considerable cuts, and we are not being cut, and that is a very strong commitment. So I think that the money will stabilize, and I think that there is a good plan of going forth that will show that the budget will stabilize.
The most recent revelation of the dollars not being available that were supposedly set aside in ARPA to support the recruitment and retention bonus, your thoughts about that, and were you surprised?
Well, I think that everybody's surprised when there is an unexpected shortfall. So, yes, the officers fulfilled their commitment. Their part of the bargain was, hey, if we stay for 3 years, the city had committed that they would pay them bonuses for fulfilling that commitment. And the officers did fulfill their commitment. And so, again, I think showing great good faith, Mayor-elect Moreno has committed that money is going to be paid. And I think she rolled out even a date. I think it was even like next week. So, again, everybody's trying to work in good faith, but it was quite a discouragement because the officers were actually expecting it as early as November, and I think they've been patient. But I think, again, we've got this over with and dealt with.
Now, this program seemed to be an opportunity to put more money in the hands of your officers without raising the base rate, their hourly rate, and therefore increasing overtime costs, knowing that you guys were going to have to utilize a lot of overtime. Are there discussions about doing another similar program to this?
You know, not that I know of, as far as, you know, these were one-time monies. The bonuses are one-time money. So as you said, it's not baked into a salary raise. I think that always money will always be an issue for anyone who works in government, that, you know, is there money to pay? Also, you've got to be competitive. And in the world of law enforcement right now, everybody is fishing in the same pool for getting candidates to apply to their agencies. And so money matters when we are in such a competitive field. So, I always want to advocate for as much money as possible for officers and professional staff as well. In order to, you know, definitely be, if you're the best of the best, you should pay the best of the best.
Yeah. You know, when I look at it, it's about a $3,300 over that 3-year period of time, a year increase, which is, you know, nothing to overlook. And obviously, when you're managing and you're in a position of possibly being in cutback management for the entire administration, not necessarily the NOPD, you try and find innovative ways to do so. And that's why I asked the question. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, also, you know, there are other ways as well to be competitive. Money will always matter. But actually, alternative work schedules are very important to people. So maybe I would look at New Orleans, where maybe the salary is not as high as another agency, but maybe the working conditions or the fact that you can have a take-home car or you have certain shifts that work better for your lifestyle. So it's not always has to be money. It can be time off. Things of that nature can make you more competitive.
I wholeheartedly believe in that, and you know, I did that for a long time because we just didn't have the money. I think a lot of other factors that could be motivators as well.
Exactly.
Chief, one of the things that happened in 2025 that it was, I think, a disappointment to a lot of people was the revelation of overtime abuse and the lack of accountability. And I know that y'all have worked hard to try and address that. If you would, for the listening audience, tell folks where are you on that and how you're going to be able to execute on that accountability factor.
Yeah. So the city did not give the police department, I don't know about the other departments such as the fire and so forth, we didn't have an overtime budget line item. And so you can't manage something you don't have. That's kind of a basic principle. However, knowing that we are at minimum 300 officers short, that's typically the overtime that is spent is from the salary savings of vacant positions you're not paying some full-time officer for. And so when you actually do the math, we spent less money using overtime than if we had 300 fully filled positions. And so that's historically where managing an overtime budget is associated with salary savings from vacancies. We had no line item to begin with, and so we were just having to fill shifts. But, you know, again, where's accountability when there's not a structure? What am I being measured toward? That has been corrected in the future budget line item. They gave me for the 2026 budget an actual overtime line item, and it is now up to me to make sure that we walk or operate within that budget line. If we have to go outside of that, we'll have to explain the reason for it, such as an unexpected snowstorm. That's not necessarily budgeted. And so those are the kind of factors from an executive mindset that has to be explained.
I think a lot of folks don't understand that there actually is the capability of savings when you manage the overtime appropriately, because you're not paying the benefit factor that could be anywhere from 35% to 52%, depending on the structure of the benefit package there. You're also not making a contribution to the pension fund on overtime. Used to do that Most pension funds don't allow it anymore because it kind of depends on the whim of the leader, and you can increase people's pensions by an extraordinary number by allowing overtime to be. And that, and I don't know what y'all's pension contribution number is, but it's probably fairly large.
It is.
So there's a significant cost savings there. And I just throw that out because I know that personally we used to look at that all the time. And sometimes it actually made sense instead of hiring additional folks to just manage an overtime budget.
That's actually true. And, everyone knows this is like my ninth agency, my fifth as the chief of police. And that's a very common budgeting practice. So just if we were to use basic math here, if you're 300 officers short and it costs approximately $100,000 per officer, that includes benefits and everything, that's $30 million, right? So If your overtime budget is you spent $25 million, you're actually coming under what it would have cost to be fully staffed. We're too low in staffing, so I don't necessarily think it's a win. But when you look at the money alone, actually the amount of overtime we spent would have come under than having a fully staffed police department. And one other thing, as long as we remain under 1,200 officers, the city pays a fine to the pension board for being underfunded. And so that's why that 1,200 mark is very important. Not only for services, but we pay a penalty to them.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Pension.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize how that works, but it's all about the unfunded accrued liability that's generated as a result. And they have an expectation there's going to be a certain contribution level. And when it's below that, they have to go work some magic on the back end. It's not easy either, right?
Yes. It's a big time finance, and I consider myself somewhat business savvy. I understand money. I understand how to what is needed to have the executive mindset of understanding budgets, and I do. But I do understand as well when you see headlines. Wow, the budget is look at NLPD's budget, overtime budget. Wow, what happened here? Actually, those are the kind of factors behind it. You have to start with the overtime budget to begin with to even manage it. And we had zero. We had zero in the line item.
So was there just like no communication back and forth as to any expectation on that line item?
No, there was understanding that I had to operate on the overtime basis because of the vacancy. So there was certainly communication. And, I can't, and I'm not going to speak to what happened. I don't know what happened, but I can tell you we were aware from the get-go that we had no overtime budgeted in the New Orleans Police Department budget. We knew that. So we were flying blind. We knew we were. But overall, as I just kind of shared with y'all, I still believe we came in under what you could have expected with a fully staffed police department.
Yeah. And, it's all about the presentation and having the structure in place to account for same, right? And
sure, absolutely.
I think you would admit that probably in some of the other places where you served, there was that structure and there was that accountability on a monthly basis as to where you stood.
Oh, absolutely. And so that is when I came here, I kept saying, I've never seen this. I've never seen this type of budgeting. I've never seen this. And I think that we're moving into a structure that is common and one I understand fully. I do understand, though, that overtime is always the bucket that will be tapped into by the city when they need monies for other projects, they're always going to tap that overtime budget. So that's not uncommon to me. But you got to start with something in the line item. And that's where I was saying, I've never seen this before. How can I have a zero line item in overtime?
And I'm sure that in other places, you've not seen the demand for the services that you have to provide as it relates to special events either.
New Orleans is unique in the being the special events, for me, the capital of the world. But, you know, you're going to look at places like, look at Las Vegas, look at Washington, D.C. You talk about events. Mm-hmm. I mean, they know that world, but not every city is. We are unique in a positive way. That's one of the special things about New Orleans, is that we are a place for entertainment. Our financial foundation is tourism, of course. And so that's it's wonderful. It's a positive.
As you look forward in 2026, is staffing still the primary challenge for you guys, like it is for a number of other agencies?
It is. Right now, you know, when I came, I had three major goals, which was the reduction of the crime, the getting out of the consent, or I should say graduating from consent, and then, of course, staffing. And so staffing still remains now for me one of the very top goals that I will have for 2026 to get to. I'd like to hire 200 new officers this year. But people also need to realize for every year, you're going to lose about 70, 75 officers who have reached retirement eligibility. They move on out of the city, whatever it might be. So we average 75. So if you're hiring 200, you're only gaining 100. So if we're 300 officers down, you're talking years of trying to dig out of that hole. To hire the right people and not compromise and not lower standards. I refuse to lower standards to fill vacancies.
The truth be told, if we were completely honest, in the environment that we find ourselves in today, that number's not really achievable. I mean,
as
aggressive as we recruited, and I've seen others recruit, and you've been in IECP, and I've been in major county sheriffs and the national sheriffs, looking across all of that, I don't see hardly any agency reach those types of numbers.
It's going to be difficult to do it, but it is doable, and I'm one of those people. I'm kind of like, we can make this happen. It is how we go about doing it. But again, we have to have the best of the best, and everybody wants it. You wanted that as the sheriff. You always want to be the best team, right?
Sure.
And you should.
Absolutely.
And you should never compromise that. Any chief or sheriff who doesn't think they're the best of the best, you know, shame on you. You know, chief, sheriffs, you know, you should take pride in the agency you have, and everybody should want to put the best people on their team. And that's what I'm going to do. But it is doable, and I'm working toward it without lowering standards, as I said.
Yeah. I just say that because I think sometimes folks have these unreasonable expectations, yeah. Not you, but yeah. I'm talking to others and interpreting right. What we're actually saying here, that, you know, that it's going to be a failure on someone's part if we don't get to that number. And it's like they're so, you know, When you look at just federal law enforcement, who's for the first time in a long, long time, and I think you'll agree with me here, they have a reduction in force that they've seen and an attrition rate they've never seen before, mm-hmm. and they're struggling.
Yes, you know, they are. Everybody is. The feds are.
And the rate of pay.
Everyone is. We had the George Floyd effect, and that's when everybody was like, okay, I'm out of here. And because it was like no one wanted to be a part of law enforcement. We are a noble profession, whatever branch of law enforcement you're in. But we have caused some harm, and we're working toward healing those fractures. And I think New Orleans has done a fabulous job in that. But we all are competing with each other, and everybody's got major holes because there was such an exodus after George Floyd in law enforcement.
Yeah. Chief, obviously, there's so much more to talk about, and I know you're busy. We really appreciate the time that you spend with us, and thank you so much. Best of luck to you in 2026.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. I look forward to another opportunity in the future.
Thank you, ma'am. That is Chief Ann Kirkpatrick, and we will be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. When we return, we'll visit with Russell Richardson, President and CEO of the St. Tammany Economic Development Corporation.